This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Halloween in Michigan, a time for candy, costumes, jack-o'-lanterns, and probably dusting off that old record or CD of spooky sound effects to play for trick-or-treaters. Well, our next guest is here to share some very creepy sounds called EVPs, electronic voice phenomenons. These deeply haunting sounds have been recorded from sites all around Michigan. The origin of the sounds? Well, that's the central question. Samantha Harris is with us. She's the founder of the Michigan Paranormal Research Association. Welcome, Samantha.
Oh, thank you, Cindy. It's a pleasure to talk with you guys.
Tell us first off, just what is paranormal research?
Paranormal is a kind of an interesting broad term because it includes, you know, cryptozoology, but a lot of people think it's just, you know, ghosts and demons and stuff. But paranormal is a term we use, and we can't scientifically explain phenomena with, you know, modern understanding. It's something outside of our realm of understanding, basically. So, and that typically leads us into hauntings and possessions and other interesting phenomena in that realm.
And how did you get involved in this? Now you're the founder of the Michigan Paranormal Research Association. What brought you to it?
Well, I founded a couple groups, and yeah, that's my most recent and really successful group. But I had paranormal experiences since I was a little kid, probably starting about like 3 years old, I would say. I had accurate death premonitions and, you know, psychic abilities. But I didn't start researching the paranormal until I was about 11 years old, and I had captured an image of a female spirit in a photograph when I was at a summer camp, and took it to a professional that worked there for 30 years, and he's like, I can't explain this. You know, it's in the negative. It's not a double exposure. And he's like, I think you actually have a ghost in there. And so that really triggered my research. And then I began working on severe cases and performing house blessings when I was about 17 years old.
So this is really a lifelong passion for you, and you've been drawn to it since you were tiny.
Yeah, definitely. And I think my work in severe hauntings and sometimes demonic cases really has been kind of a spiritual calling. It's not something really a lot of people voluntarily want to go into because it really affects your personal life, and it's very draining and taxing. So, but I do it for free, and I try to help people. And had actually a 98% success rate with our house blessings and exorcisms. So it's definitely an intense line of work, and I took about a year and a half off and just starting to work into the cases again.
Well, we want to talk about this electronic voice phenomenon, the EVP, and you've brought some to share with us. First of all, what are they?
Electronic voice phenomenon. So sometimes when people hear a spirit with their own ears, they mistakenly call it an EVP. But an EVP is when you capture a disembodied voice, or what's believed to be, you know, voices of spirits and entities on electronic recording. So a lot of people will use digital voice recorders, sometimes analog recorders, and they're able to capture sentences, words, weird unexplained sounds on these recordings during investigations, or sometimes just by accident.
And take us through the process, how you go about recording these. Do you do these, or do people submit them to you?
Yeah, so sometimes we will, you know, use and debut other people's electronic voice phenomenon recordings that they've captured, but typically the ones that I show on my website and use with our presentations are ones that I've captured during our counseling sessions or right before house blessing, which is where we typically get the most activity in these recordings, because oftentimes these entities and spirits don't want to be, you know, vacated from the home.
All right, let's take a listen to one of the electronic voice phenomenon recordings you brought to us. This one is from Flint. Okay, Samantha, what are we hearing here?
Yeah, so this is actually from a demonic case that was in Flint, and this is an EVP captured in this attic-like room that was right actually next to their master bedroom. And, you know, we checked for infestations, things like that. There was no infestations whatsoever. And what you're hearing is what sounds to be demonic pig sounds, which sounds very crazy and out there, but it's actually common in a lot of demonic cases, especially if there's been satanic rituals, which was actually a part of this case. And sometimes it happens, we think, because people sometimes use animals in these rituals, such as pigs or pig bones. And sometimes demonic entities just choose to manifest themselves with these sounds. And so you're hearing pig grunting that was captured. No one else was in that room at that time.
All right. And you know you must hear this all the time. People go, really?
Right. And so in the following EVPs we're going to go over, you're actually going to hear, like, entities speaking, not just making weird animal sounds. But this is downtown Flint. You know, there's no farming areas whatsoever. Kind of interesting. And we know possums and raccoons that weren't in the house, but they don't make that sound either. So it's kind of an interesting recording we captured.
Okay, we're going to listen to another recording you captured. And this one's from Taylor. Can you kind of set it up for us and tell us what's going on here?
Sure. I'm talking with the husband at the table at that time. There's no other males in the room. And you're going to hear him and I talking about how he experienced with a paranormal group previously, they experienced inappropriate touching, basically, when they laid down on the master bed. And so he suggests me to try that as well. And, of course, in my head, I'm like, I'm not going to be doing this. But you're going to hear the first part's overlapped. It says sweetheart or Samantha. It's kind of hard to make out. But you're going to hear, try this, won't you? And it's interesting because it's in context to what we were talking about at that exact moment. So you're going to be hearing a male entity's voice, and it says, sweetheart, try this, won't you?
All right, let's take a listen.
Say, in your mind.
Mm-hmm. So you have a telepathic kind of.
Okay, try this. That's what I heard.
Yep, that's correct.
You know what? I'm going to ask our engineer, Mike, play that one more time, because a lot of us are going, wait, all right, what now? So you're going to hear, and this is something I guess I should be sure. You didn't hear this while you were having the conversation. You heard this after as you listened to the recording?
Right, and that's how most EVPs are. You don't hear them in real time until you listen to the recording later.
All right, let's just take another listen.
Say, in your mind.
Mm-hmm. So you have a telepathic kind of.
Okay, so the first time we're hearing it just at normal speed, and you hear this whispering. I did hear a whispering voice going, try this. And then you have it slowed down.
Yep, exactly. And that's what I have for the other recordings as well, too. Because sometimes it's better to, number one, listen with headphones. It's always hard when it's over the air. But two is sometimes when you slow things down or clear up the audio, you can hear these EVPs a lot better.
And the reason you were at that house in Taylor was why?
To perform a house blessing, trying to remove the haunting for them. So that's typically what I do nowadays, is rarely to investigate demonic hauntings, because I think it's kind of opens up a vulnerable door and you don't want to give this thing much attention, just more so get rid of it. And so we're counseling with the family when we capture these EVPs.
Where do you think these sounds come from, Samantha?
I think it's interesting because, you know, there's plenty of animals and even younger children that are able to hear and see things that we can't. I think it has to do with our, you know, rods and cones in our eyes, and sometimes our hearing, we can't hear certain frequencies or wavelengths. And I think that these energies and spirits and entities and such kind of seem to exist on a different plane of existence, and that's why we're typically not able to see and hear them. But just like, you know, infrared, just because we can't see it doesn't mean it's not there.
And what do you say to people who say, oh, come on, and who really don't think that there's anything to this at all?
Well, you know, I actually credit them for that, just because, I mean, most people don't experience, especially demonic hauntings, but hauntings in general. So, you know, unless you experience it, why would you believe in those things? But we're pretty close to proving all this stuff is real. It's just getting investors and people that actually want to invest money and see profit and value in researching this type of stuff. But I understand why. I've worked on cases where, you know, people have been thrown across the room by an unseen force. I sure as heck know that wasn't an earthquake. or before a blessing, all the kitchen cabinets open up, you know, things like that. So I've seen things that I can't explain by our current means.
Have you been contacted by people who hear bumps in the night and may think their house is haunted? What's your advice?
Oh, definitely. I mean, sometimes you'll get people with mental illness, you know, and like paranoid schizophrenia, things like that. So that's why I think it's important to have a background in psychology like I do. But, yeah, some people, you know, automatically assume it's a ghost, or, oh, I'm positive I have a demon in my house. When we go there, there's nothing there. Or sometimes they have high electromagnetic field frequencies going on in their house, which can cause hallucinations. So sometimes there's logical explanations, you know, like a leaky faucet, or, you know, there's a possum in the attic, you know. So we try to find logical explanations for people. And oftentimes, you know, it's typically not a haunting. But the way that I'm set up, I usually get word-of-mouth referrals and hand it over from ministers and priests and other individuals. So I typically work on legitimate bona fide cases.
As you've done this work through the Michigan Paranormal Research Association and other groups that you've been involved with, where do you think this universal human fascination with the other side comes from?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I think it's something that we've been preoccupied ever since, you know, like Neanderthal times probably, but, you know, all of mankind's existence. I think the other side's interesting, or death, you know, because this afterlife really explains, you know, the other half of our existence, if it's true, you know, and I think it gives meaning and reason as to why we're here. And it's this kind of unanswered question, you know, what is the afterlife like? What purpose does it give our current lives? And it's a really mysterious frontier that a lot of people want to know more about, and it could, you know, bring some sense to, you know, religion, spirituality, things like that. But, you know, there's a lot of questions we have about it, and so I think people are curious because it might change the direction of their life. It might bring them closure on, you know, family members that they've lost, and I think it brings hope to think that, you know, life isn't over with when we pass away here on Earth, that our existence continues.
Samantha Harris, she is the founder of the Michigan Paranormal Research Association. Thank you so much for being with us and for sharing these electronic voice phenomenons, the EVPs. Thanks so much, Samantha.
Oh, thanks, and you guys have a great day.